Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Three people have ascended from earth to heaven. Two of them never died. One, Jesus, did die. Enoch, Elijah, and Jesus. Enoch and Elijah never died. Enoch lived before the flood, back when men lived 900 plus years. Scripture says that these were the times where great men lived. They did great and wonderful things. They were the men of old, the heroes of the ancient world. But they did not have faith. They had wandered away from God. So Enoch came, the seventh generation from Adam, preaching the coming of God. St. Jude in the New Testament records his message saying, God is coming to judge everyone and to convict the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done. For a measly 365 years, he walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. He took him into heaven. Without flaming chariots, without a whirlwind, without any spectacle, God brought him body and soul into heaven. It was a sign to the pre-flood world that God created man to live in heaven with him. Then the flood came, the great destruction like nothing else the world has ever seen. The wrath of God was unleashed upon the world, and yet the heart of God remained the same. So he brought Elijah, this time by a whirlwind and the chariots of fire, he brought Elijah into heaven apart from death, spared him from the pain and suffering. He ascended into heaven because God's heart had not changed. It was a sign to those people after the flood that God still created man to live with him in heaven. Then we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, true God, true man, crucified for us and risen in glory, risen with the same body born of Mary, the same body pinned to a tree. 40 days after Easter, he's on the Mount of Olives talking with his disciples. When the Lord God takes him up into heaven and a cloud hides him from their sight, the disciples see him no more. It's the last great sign to God's people that God has created man to live with him in heaven. Heaven is a real, physical, concrete place. It has to be, for three human bodies have gone there. They did not disintegrate as they went up. The soul wasn't released from the prison of the body as if the body is somehow evil and the soul is good. Both are born sinful, and both are redeemed by Christ. So heaven is a real physical place. They walk. They run there. They talk. They bow and stand and sit and lie down, and they can jump and run and touch things and taste things and see things. It's a real physical place. It's not floating around in the air. But their feet are firmly fixed on heaven's ground. If Christ did not ascend into heaven, then neither did Enoch or Elijah ascend into heaven, and neither will we. So Christ's ascension into heaven is far more than a sign, but it's vital to our salvation. If Christ has not ascended into heaven, then we are stuck on this earth for all eternity. He ascended to stand down the cherubim and the flaming sword, to open heaven's gates, and to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a real physical concrete place for these real physical concrete bodies, and it's yours through faith. But it's not something that you have to wait for to the last day of your life or to the last day of the earth's life. Heaven is yours right now. For Christ has ascended into heaven, and yet he has promised you, I am with you always. So where Christ is graciously present, there is heaven. There he comes with his grace and blessings. I could not say this if Christ had not ascended into heaven. But he did. God has created you to live with him in a wonderful communion for all time, and he has redeemed you by the blood of Christ so that you might be able to live with him in a blessed, perfect union between God and creature. Your home is in heaven. So let us strive for godliness and avoid such things that are contrary to our homeland. As a woman cannot marry two different men, so neither can you live for the earth and live for heaven. It's one or the other. So marriage should be honored by all, both the married and the unmarried. Let us all speak well of this holy estate, for it is God who joins man and woman together. Let us keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have, because God has promised, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Live a life worthy of the calling you have received, for your home is not here on earth, your home is with him. Get rid of the old, sinful, selfish ways that try to pry itself back into your thoughts and life. Get rid of anything that is sinful in your life, lest you end up cutting yourself off from your homeland in heaven. So God uses adversities and difficulties to remind us of where our home is, and to remind us of the one thing that is needful for us. They strip away all the idols that we have set up for ourselves and show us the one thing needful. Before this whole epidemic happened, it is easy to see how busy our lives were. But now we are forced to ponder, what is essential to my life? Our freedom, our independence has been taken away to some degree. We can't go wherever we want. We can't do whatever we want. All of this has been put on a hold. We always were dependent, but now we are forced to recognize just how dependent we are. We're told that our sports and our friends and even our extended family, and perhaps sadly even our business, was not important. So we are left with this burning question. What is important to my life? I suppose we could complain about all of these things, but perhaps what has happened is we all have just been fast-forwarded to the very end of our life when we are completely dependent on someone else, and we're not free to do as we please. Many turn to the government, looking for them to sustain life. By God's grace, we recognize that we are dependent solely on Christ. So like Enoch, we still walk with God, even in the midst of adversities, as we pursue godliness. He redeemed us so that we might live in this wonderful communion, both now on earth and forever in heaven. So let us get rid of all bitterness and anger and rage and say with a cheerful heart, I still haven't lost anything, for my heart is not set on this path. We are reminded of the Psalms, which says, Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. What good is earth, or even what good is heaven, if God were not there? It's useless, it's boring, and it's sad. Yes, heaven itself is boring if God were not present there with his grace and love. The heart must turn away from everything, including a physical place, and must cling to God alone. For then the psalmist concludes, My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is our life. Life is far more than simply breathing air or having a place to go. Life is being in communion with Christ, in receiving a life that transcends even death itself. Heaven is a glorious place only because God is visibly present there. And that's really then the only difference between what we have now and what we will have at that last day, the difference of sight. God has promised that he is with us right now. He is present here with his ascended body to feed us, a wonderful gift, to give us himself and all the gifts of heaven. He communes with you and you with him, for this is why he created you, to commune and to share the union and the blessings that he has won. But it's not just in these four walls, not just in this space that we commune with God. For as Enoch walked with God, so also we walk with God in faith and in life. So let us continue to live a life worthy of that calling that we have received. Christ is with you every step of the way, even rejoicing in the good deeds and your patient trust. And by his power, as he brought Enoch and Elijah into heaven, so he will do the same for you. For your life is not destined to run out on this earth, but your life is destined to live forever, now by faith, soon by sight, in a wonderful communion with God. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.